Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying the Church, teachings on the body of Christ. In this session, we'll be looking at 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. The Church is a fellowship. What are some fellowship examples? Well, employment, school, marriage, clubs, hobbies. Fellowship is based on some common ground that causes a desire to be together. The church is also a fellowship. Christians have fellowship with God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, our fellowship is with the Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, called into the fellowship of His Son. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, fellowship of the Spirit. So Christians have fellowship with God. Christians have fellowship with each other. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, that you also may have fellowship with us. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and verse 46. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then if you drop down to verse 46, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. The early Christians had a common ground that gave them the desire to be together. What was that? Jesus Christ. Christians have fellowship in ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4. Fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Philippians chapter 1, verse 5. Fellowship in the gospel. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Fellowship of His sufferings. The church is an example of true fellowship, corporately and individually. A testimony to the world. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, down to verse 13. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the church, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. The Greek word is koinonia. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia, to share or participate in something, with the idea of intimacy. Fellowship as a church body depends on individual fellowship with the Lord. So, our texts in 1 John chapter 1, in verse 5, down to verse 10. This passage addresses two issues, both of which are related to a Christian's individual fellowship. First is manifesting the fellowship. Verses 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. And we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. John speaks of two kinds of people in this verse. Number one, those lacking true fellowship with God. What is walking in darkness? Well, if you claim to have fellowship with the Lord but act contrary to that profession, you're lying. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Christians are called to practice the truth. We're instructed to walk circumspectly, which means looking all around in this world, to pay attention to circumstances and consequences. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 down to verse 16. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? None. Amos says, in Amos 3:3, he asks the question, can two walk together unless they're agreed? You can't have fellowship. Believers cannot have fellowship with unbelievers. Second, those having true fellowship with God, we show it by our lives. Fellowship with God and with each other. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. What does that mean in this text? We were cleansed and saved for all eternity, and we're continually cleansed as Christians. Believers are not perfect, but simply forgiven. So, manifesting the fellowship. And second, maintaining the fellowship. Verses 8 through 10. If we say we have no sins, He is just faithful and just. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. John identified two things to understand about sin. First is the fact of sin. You deceive yourselves by denying or excusing sin. You challenge the truth of the cross because Jesus came to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful sayer to saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Christians must live a life of repentance. We continually sin, we must continually confess our sins. And then second, the forgiveness of sins. Pardon of sins is continually offered. A believer's duty is to acknowledge and confess. God's promise is to forgive and cleanse. Forgiveness doesn't mean consequences are erased. What truth forces us to deal with these two issues? Well, the message of verse 5. This is the message which we've heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. He is like pure and perfect light. We're to walk in the light of truth. Confess our sins. This is the basis of individual fellowship. This results in corporate fellowship. Verse 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Corporate fellowship requires Christians to maintain an individual commitment. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Listen, Satan will continually attack our fellowship. He'll do it through external critics. Acts chapter 4, verses 17 and 19. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. They're just always critical. Like when Robert Fulton built his steamboat, and when it came time to unveil and to launch it, all of his critics were standing there. It'll never go. It'll never go. It'll never work. It'll never go. And then as it began to move away and go down the river, they all changed and started shouting, it'll never stop. It'll never stop. It'll never stop. There's always critics looking and paying attention. So Satan will use them to attack our fellowship. Well, Satan will also attack our fellowship through internal hypocrisy. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold the possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Look, God doesn't tolerate lying. That's the ninth commandment. He'll also do it through internal dissension. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. Now in those days, the number of disciples was multiplying, and there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, the Greeks, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution of food. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said, it's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve on tables. The apostles dealt with the problem, and then deacons were established. The result, because they dealt with these problems, Acts chapter 4, verse 31, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Acts chapter 5, verse 14, believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of men, both men and women. Acts chapter 6, and then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. The church is a fellowship. Christians should desire fellowship with Jesus Christ. If not, then sin is present. Desire for Christian fellowship should overshadow every other form of fellowship. In conclusion, I want to give a fourfold priority focus which will encourage Christian fellowship. First, be person-centered. It's about souls. It's not about numbers. Be Christ-centered. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. And then be Bible-centered. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness,